Hello, and welcome to Catholic Women Lead, a podcast brought to you by Catholic Women in Business. I'm Elise Gallagher.
And I'm Taryn DeLong, and we're co-presidents of Catholic Women in Business.
Whether you're a working mom, a young professional, or business veteran, fitting work in between nap times and kid pickups, or discerning your next steps, Catholic Women in Business is a resource and community for you to grow professionally and spiritually alongside other women.
On this podcast, we're sharing tips, advice, and inspiration from leading Catholic businesswomen to help you grow your career or business faithfully. We believe in what Pope John Paul the Great called the feminine genius, and we're here to help you tap into yours and use business to make the world a better place.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the episode.
Did you know Catholic Women in Business has a new membership community? It includes a monthly mastermind meeting featuring an hour of learning and half an hour of breakout discussion and networking. As a member, you'll also have access to recordings of each mastermind meeting, access to a member business directory, exclusive podcast episodes, and more. As a podcast listener, you can get 15% off your membership. Go to catholicwomeninbusiness.com/membership and use discount code podcast for 15% off. That's catholicwomeninbusiness.com/membership and discount code PODCAST. Your community of faithful Catholic women in business is waiting. We'll see you there. This is Taryn DeLong. I am here today with Leah Jacobson. Leah, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me back. I think I was here a long time ago, so this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to you today about a new program that you're leading up. But before we get into that, can you just introduce yourself to those who might not know who you are and share a little bit about who you are, what you do, and kind of what your career has looked like so far?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Leah Jacobson. I live in north central Minnesota. I'm actually in the Brainerd Lakes region of Minnesota. So kind of out in a rural outstate area, which is always a challenge when you do the type of work that I do, because I work on national initiatives and national projects with my own nonprofit that I founded about a decade ago now. I founded the Guiding Star Project, which was just sort of this proposition for culture in our world of, could we do better for women's healthcare? And what began as that question, you know, can we do better for women's healthcare, has blossomed into 8 women's healthcare centers across 6 states. So that project has been incredibly gratifying. It's taught me everything that I've learned about leadership, about growing an organization, about, you know, everything from running payroll to reading profit and loss statements. I have become the entrepreneur and the businesswoman I guess I am from Guiding Star and just saying yes to that initiative and that work. And it's really opened up beautiful connections and opportunities in my life. I was able to publish a book a few years ago on just all of the research and the reading I had been doing about women's healthcare. I published my book, Holistic Feminism, in, gosh, what was that? June of 2021. It's already coming up on 3 years. That's crazy. Time flies. And I've been able to do a lot of speaking, both nationally and internationally, on issues relating to women's health. And specifically, the area I've been kind of shifting into is identity. Our identity is of the identity of a woman as a mother, as a single woman, as a working woman, all the different roles that we play in culture and society, and how we come to find fulfillment and joy and happiness in our lives as women, as females. So that has really led into the newest project and initiative, the newest opportunity that I've been afforded. I guess kind of the next phase of my career has been working with the University of St. Thomas in Houston. I've been brought on to help create, coordinate, and manage a new sexuality and gender graduate certificate. So it's the first one is a certificate in sexuality and gender, which is very exciting because it comes from a very faithful Catholic perspective. And that is just a rarity with this issue on sexuality and gender at the highest levels of academia. It tends to not align well with church teaching. So that's just been a really wonderful opportunity. And then the next phase of this, the evolution of that certificate is into a full master's program. So we have also just announced at the University of St. Thomas that the gender and sexuality certificate is kind of the first part in a lead-in into a master's in Catholic women and gender studies. So a master's program in women and gender studies is really what I'm pouring my heart and passion and energy into right now. which feels very full circle for me, from the work that I began with Guiding Star on a, you know, starting at a college campus. It all just feels like it's been divinely led. Each little experience, each little business thing that I've learned, each connection, every time I've leveled up just a little bit, it seems like it's all been leading very naturally to kind of this full circle of, this is what I want to use your gifts and talents for in this world. So I'm grateful.
I was very excited when I heard about this, because I do think it's needed. And you, I mean, you would be one of the women that I would think of, if I were creating a program like this, if I were to think of who are the Catholics who are really talking about gender and what it means to be a woman in particular, from a Catholic perspective, you're one of the women I would think of. So I understand why they asked, why they would want you. What made you decide, you know, you have this wonderful nonprofit that you lead. What made you decide that you wanted to take this step with this new program?
That's such a great question. So really the discernment began, you know, last summer. It was in about June, and it was one of those networking type of events that I had gone to. It was not Scent Ventures. It was not the Scent Conference. It was the Raise Conference from, what is the name of the group? Andrew Robinson. What is the name of his group right now? It's Petrus. Petrus Development. Yes. So I was at the Petrus Conference, which is a Catholic development conference for, nonprofits, business people that are looking to raise capital funding for their projects. And I was at that conference, and one of those just sort of chance encounters at the bar that night at the reception, I ordered a drink, and the man next to me ordered the same drink. And we said, hello, you have wonderful taste. And it was a great conversation. And it turned out that he was very involved at St. Thomas University, and they had been looking for somebody to lead such a program as this. And they had asked a few other kind of Catholic female intellectuals in the space. And this is the interesting thing that I've learned, is that many people that work in academia, that teach in academia, don't want to administer in academia because it's a totally different skill set. And I'm not a traditional academic. I don't have my PhD. I have a master's degree, but I don't have a PhD. I've not been teaching in that or researching in that sort of setting vigorously. I've been much more the entrepreneurial startup side of, we're going to be scrappy. We're going to solve problems. We're going to put puzzle pieces together and figure out how to make this thing work. And it turns out that's what you have to do when you're starting something new, really in any institution, even an institution as big and as bureaucratic as a university system. You kind of have to be a scrappy entrepreneur to figure out how to do it. And so that was a big part of my discernment, was a little bit of that, getting over that, well, I'm not an academic. Do I belong in academia? But then recognizing they've been trying to get this program going. They've been asking academics, and it's not going anywhere. If you want to get something done, ask a busy mom that's doing a ton of things. So it's been a really fun year just sketching out these programs, sketching out the curriculum, the layout. And I just feel like I was saying a little bit earlier, I feel uniquely positioned to understand the problem that I think this degree, this program, that we're going to actually come out with solutions. And people that will graduate with this degree, with these certificates, are going to be formed to make a difference. They're not just going to be sitting around thinking about these ideas. They're going to take it to the world. So that's what I'm excited about.
Well, I think that combination of, you know, you have the academics involved in, you know, presumably in teaching the courses, and then you have someone like you who's managing it. I can see where that would create some graduates who are really focused on taking that kind of intellectual stuff, the content that they learn, and then using it in the world, because that's what you've done. So,
I just have to tell you, some of the intellectuals that we're pulling in, like, they're the people that I kind of fangirl. Like, they're the people that I've been reading their stuff for the past, you know, 15, 20 years. And I'm like, these people are brilliant. So the fact that we're getting to recruit them in and getting them to teach the courses, I think I was 20 when I first picked up and read Pia De Cellini's dissertation, her doctoral dissertation on woman, and just thinking, this woman's brilliant. And she's committing to teach one of the classes in this program. And we've got Erica Bacchiacci, who I just think is absolutely just a fantastic intellectual, her voice, her thoughts. She's teaching one of the classes as well. And then we've got some young up and coming kind of female intellectuals who are moms. We've got Eileen Reuter, who is just a brand new mom, you know, for three or four little babies at home. And because it's a virtual class, you know, she gets to use her PhD and be mom, you know? So I just love that we get to practice what we preach and saying that women are capable of many things, and show that women at different stages in life that they can share their gifts and talents through this program.
They're teaching by example too. I love that. So can we get into a little bit what the program is getting into? So you mentioned, you know, some of the problems that that the students are going to look at, and then you're equipping them to kind of go out into the world. Can we talk a little bit more about that? Because I mean, I have lots of thoughts, but I want to hear what you're really putting into this program, and who are the students going to be, and what are they going to do after
the? Yeah, so the very first thing that we're launching, this has already been through the approval process. The board has approved it. It's accredited. Is the sexuality and gender certificate. So starting fall 2024, for sure, we've got a sexuality and gender certificate ready to go. People can apply right now and get in that. And it's a 4-course sequence. It's 4 classes, 12 credits. It's graduate level, so you have to have a bachelor's degree because it is at that master's level. And the first course in that sequence is actually like a human metaphysics anthropology. So it's the human person, body and soul. And that really is going to be talking about just the nature of man and woman, how God made us. Like, we have to start at the very beginning of this whole thing, like in the garden before the fall. What was God thinking? What was the intention of his creation in man and woman? Which I love that we get to start there. And then the next one in the gender and sexuality certificate is that we jump right into the history of sex and gender. And that's Erica Bacchiacci's course. And that is really where we're going to trace the historical developments and just understanding of sexuality, of gender, of feminism's effect on it, the women's movement effect on this kind of, you know, social construct. And that we're going to, because it's a faithful Catholic institution, it's one of the Newman schools. It's in the Newman Guide, which, if you're not familiar with the Newman Guide, these are schools that are signed the Ex Corde Agreement. They're in agreement with the Holy Father, with the Magisterium of the Church, that they will be faithful to all the teachings of the Catholic Church. So it's just really awesome, you know. So this course, even though it's history of, you know, feminism, all this stuff, is going to look at how does this intersect with and converge? And what is the tension with church teaching? Are there places of overlap? Are there places of complete disagreement? Are there places of, well, they're close to truth, but they're a little off right here? We get to view it through that lens, in the safety of a faithful Catholic college. So that is really exciting to me, that we can actually talk about feminism and actually unwrap it and say, is there such a thing as a Catholic feminism? Can there be Catholic feminism? Are these ideas completely incompatible? Where is their convergence? Because that seems to be a really hot topic right now in Catholic circles, of whether feminism is literally from the devil or whether or not there's something redeeming about it. So that's what that class is really going to talk about. The third one in that sequence is the science and social science of sexuality and gender. I love this one because it's really asking the questions, is this nature? Is this nurture? What does the science say? Like, we're not going to look at pseudoscience. We're not going to look at, like, how do we feel about this? Let's look at actual human flourishing through the time that we've been, you know, researching and that we've been gathering data. What have we been able to conclude about human wellness and the issue of gender? And the instructor for that course, I'm very, very excited. Her name is Amy Hamilton, and Amy has got quite a story, and I'm excited for her to start sharing her story under her real name. She's been writing for quite some time under a pseudonym. And so she's literally coming out with her story in this program and sharing her real life experience of how she's come as a scientist to the positions that she's at. So that class I'm really excited about. Like, I hope that's a really solid tease, because she's solid and she's awesome. And then the very final course in this certificate, and actually I can share a little bit more. The master's certificate, or the master's program, will also include 3 distinct certificates, other certificates. And the 4th course in every one of those certificates is a practical applications course. Mm-hmm. And that means that we're going to take the information that we learned from the first three courses, and we're going to look, where are you in your career? Are you a elementary school teacher? Are you a priest? Are you a diocesan employee? Are you a lay minister? How do you take this information, this knowledge, and now practically apply it and bring this good news to the world? And it has to be brought forward in such a way that it is invitational and charitable and engaging. So that practical applications course actually includes it concludes with a 5-day in-person at the University of St. Thomas. So all the students that are in any of the certificates that are in any of the practical application courses will all come to that same gathering. And it quite literally is like your final spoken presented exam presentation of how what you have learned will be applied in your career and in your vocational setting. Because we want to make sure that anybody that's leaving this program leaves with a proper understanding and orientation on this. We really don't want to create more division. I'm not interested in sending more people out that are like, I'm right, you're wrong, here's my certificate, here's my degree, I'm going to hit you over the head with it. I want people that can say, I've really taken the time to think about this and pray about this, and I'm prepared to engage charitably in conversation with you on these issues, even though we might really disagree. That's the whole point of all of it.
I'm so glad that you said that, because I mean, just because you and I have had conversations in the past, so I would know that you're not, you know, training people to be like Instagram warriors. But that is so much of what we see, especially in this, around this conversation, is just angry people shouting at each other, shouting past each other, really. So I'm excited to see what the graduates of the program do with the knowledge and the confidence that you're going to be giving them. And then, yeah, sharing that with people in a more charitable way than what we see now.
Well, and the fact that we just haven't really been speaking about this from the church, you know, with that much, with a lot of authority and with a lot of deep understanding. We may know the basic teaching on this is right, this is wrong, and that's where we stop. We don't go a lot deeper, and we need to go a lot deeper. We need to see the human person. We need to see the struggle, the hurt, the pain, the trauma, all the things that may make it difficult to have conversation, and really to have that discernment of what is the best way to evangelize, to work in this person's life. Is it to engage with them in a verbal sparring match right now? Or is it to, you know, go pray for them, offer mass for them, you know, whatever different thing you can do. There's just a lot of discernment around these issues that has to happen. And it won't happen until we really talk about it.
So how do you see graduates using using the certificate, using what they've learned? Obviously, I think just from a people they interact with and people they have relationships with, they'll be better equipped to have these conversations. But on a more professional level, you know, are they all going to be working in ministry? Are you seeing this more applicable in all walks of life? What are your thoughts there?
I think this, you know, this sexuality and gender certificate, I think it's going to prepare you for a conversation so that you're not surprised, that you're not totally like unprepared, thrown off balance, don't even know what to say. And then you totally just don't even get a word out. So I think this certificate is really going to just prepare you with the proper framework of, you know, this is how God made this. This is the order. This is the teaching. These are the deep theological traditions of this teaching. This is the evidence and support of this being a good for humanity. And so that you're very prepared to speak with love to anyone in any situation. I think that it also is going to translate, depending upon the position that a person has in their life, I think it's going to translate into having a lot more confidence and certainty around policy, around procedure, around the way that we set up our institutions within the church. So I can see Catholic school administrators really benefiting from this program. I could see campus ministers, youth ministers, anybody in a ministry setting, I think is going to just absolutely need something like this as a tool to help form the proper response. But to a business person, just anybody in the workplace, this is where that final applications course becomes so important, because we look at what are your legal protections? What can you say? What can you not say? Who are your resources in case, you know, you say something charitably and it backfires? Like, how can you defend yourself, protect yourself? What are your religious liberties? Those are important conversations for us to have, to know no, I'm okay to say this. I'm protected. This is an expression of religious belief, you know, not, and again, I say all this not because we're trying to pick fights. We're not trying to pick fights, but we're also trying to prepare people to speak the truth always, you know, and sometimes it will require words. Sometimes our words are going to be needed to speak the truth and to help have those words ready in the context that they can be effective.
That's something that I'm so excited about. I mean, obviously, Catholic Women in Business, we care a lot about the women in business. And there are so many women in our community who, there's a lot that own Catholic businesses and they work in a Catholic setting. But there's so many, too, who have come to find us because they're looking for other Catholic women who are like them. And they're maybe the only Catholic in their completely secular workplace. And these conversations are becoming more and more common. There's more and more of a spotlight on them. And I think the key word that you said is confidence, because I think the more information we have, the more knowledge we have about what the church really teaches and why it teaches that, the more confident we can be to say, this is what I believe in. This is why I believe in it. And to really stand firm in that.
Yeah. And to understand that you have, you know, a right to speak up, you know, because I think sometimes we're really scared into thinking, oh, well, that goes against company policy. Like, you don't have a right to say that, or you don't have a right. That's hate speech. That's blah, blah, blah. And so forming our statements, forming what we say, our opinions are not hate speech. We have a right to an opinion, and being able to express that opinion in a way that is safe, protected, is very important. We need to have these conversations. We've got to talk about this, guys. And the church, yes, we can continue to be safe within the walls of our, you know, little community, but that's, we're not called to that at this moment in time. I really love Monsignor Shea's book. I don't know if you've read it or not, Monsignor Shea, From Christendom to Apostolic Mission. And he shares in this book. Have you read that one? Oh, I love him. So he's the president at the University of Mary out in, you know, North Dakota, freezing cold Bismarck, North Dakota, with the winds and the snow. He's just out in the middle of nowhere, but I think it gives him time to think because he wrote this amazing book that just is an analysis of our culture and past cultures, that you go from a Christendom era where everything is ordered around, you know, a Christian thought and worldview, and the expectation of everybody and the understanding and the framework that everybody's working from is Christian. And then slowly a Christendom dies away, and then the church becomes apostolic once again, meaning it sends out missionaries, it sends out apostles, and that this is a cyclical pattern, that it happens over and over again, like, you know, in nations and areas of the world, that we constantly need to re-Christianize the world, because it falls away and then it has to come back, and it falls away and it has to come back. And he makes the argument that we are no longer in a Christendom America, that America is no longer Christendom, that it is now apostolic mission. And that if we do not reorient ourselves to that, then the church will be in trouble here. And so this is that apostolic moment, I think, to recognize there's a lot of truth that needs to be brought to the world. And this is our mission as apostles, as missionaries, is to live our life as Christians openly.
That's beautiful. I'll make sure to link to that book in the show notes and check it out myself. Because I talk a lot about how I really think there's so many questions in the business world, so many challenges that you read about or you experience yourself. And I always go back to the church has the fullness of the truth. The church has all of these answers, and we're all missionaries. We're all called to share those answers to varying degrees. You know, not everyone's called to the same level of evangelization, especially in the workplace, but we are all called to represent the truth to some extent. And that includes the truth about what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a human person. And there's so much evidence right now that we can see just in the world and in the workplace that we've lost sight of what that means, what it means to be a human being made in the image and likeness of God. And part of that is the things that you're going to be teaching in this program, and just the idea that you're going to be sending out these missionaries, you know, into the field, into the workplace to help share that truth. Mm-hmm. And they'll have the knowledge to back that up of what the church says is just beautiful.
I think it's there's going to be an unexpected element to this as well, because I think a lot of Catholics are going to expect this to be very black and white, almost, that, you know, this is very bad, like this, you know. But here's the thing, sin is sin. Like, sin is always bad, and we're going to be very clear what is sin and what is not sin. But there are also things that sometimes we tend to equate with sin that maybe are just social stereotypes. Maybe they're a little more shallow than we think they are. Maybe we tend to put pink with girls and blue with boys, and that doesn't actually matter. And so I think that there is going to be a challenge to the people that engage with this program and to the church in these next, you know, several years, that we rethink how we may have simplified or reduced the identity of man, the identity of woman, into roles or gender stereotypes that maybe limit the fullness of our human nature, that maybe have been constricting and have actually caused some of these problems we're seeing right now. When you have a little boy who loves to dance and he loves to sing, does that mean he's a little girl? No, he's a little boy that loves to dance and sing. You know, does that say anything about who he's sexually attracted to? No, it means he loves to dance and sing. And for us to create a little more space around the uniqueness of each person as God creates them, I think if this message really takes root in the church, we're going to see a lot of saints coming forward who are just weird, because that's the reality. Saints are weird. Like, they're uncomfortable people. They don't fit in. Everyone's like, oh, that's kind of a weird guy. I don't really know if I want to hang out with him. But he's fully himself. Like, she's fully herself. Like, that's when you know that there's holiness coming forward from the church, is when everybody starts to look a little different from one another. We all gain our uniqueness. We become truly who we are, which is irrepeatable. And so the more we all look alike, and the more we all act alike, and the more that the good Catholic woman looks like this, or the good man looks like this, the further we're getting, in a sense, from God's crazy creative ability. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think that that's the uncomfortable part in this that we have to be willing to engage with.
No, that totally makes sense. I think, was it C.S. Lewis who said something about how the saints are all unique, and like sin is boring. Sin is always the same, but saints, just like you said, when they're living in the fullness of who God made them to be, they're weird. I mean, you read some of the stories of the saints and you're just like, I have never met someone like this person before in my life. And
yeah,
now they're an example of holiness. And so what saints are in the making now that we're going to look at and say, you are beautifully bizarre?
Yep. Yeah. And gender is one of those issues. Gender and sexuality have become sort of these dividing, sort of like, okay, well, you're too weird in that area. And like, you're definitely not Catholic now, because now you're just too weird. And we've got to try to like work our way back from that and say, what's actually going on here? Like, is this us being uncomfortable, or is this us recognizing sin? Those are different things. Because sometimes I think we do tend to conflate small things that don't need to be as divisive as they are into really big things. But sin is sin, and we need to be comfortable calling it that. And in our current culture, in our current world, it is very difficult for us to call some sexual behaviors, some identity behaviors, some actions sinful. We're really struggling to do that. And so this program, these educational courses that we're putting forward, it's to give us that right order again, like to put us back into right order of, this is what God intended, because God loves us and he always gives us good things. And the more we pervert it or change it, it no longer is love. It's no longer good for us.
Well, I mean, that's a great place to end. I'm so excited about this program, Lee. I'm so excited to see what you do with it. And thank you for coming on the podcast and sharing with us today. I will include links in the show notes, but where can people find you, can find more information about the program, about Guiding Star Project? Let us know.
Yeah. So I would, University of St. Thomas in Houston. So it's stthom.edu. If you go to the main stthom.edu page, We're actually housed at the NESTI Center for Faith and Culture at St. Thomas. So NESTI is N-E-S-T-I. If you just go to their page and Google NESTI, it'll send you right over to the Faith and Culture Center, and our program will pop up and you can see how to apply for it and see the classes and all the prerequisites and all that information there. So that would be wonderful. We're trying to get a full cohort for this fall so we can launch this program strong. So we're really hoping to get some good applicants. And then a Guiding Star, we continue to plug away with that, opening up women's healthcare centers, really focusing on serving the genius of women. That's my personal passion project, is just helping every woman, you know, to not fear pregnancy, to not fear her body, to really love how God made her. So all of it feels so intertwined for me. Like, it all feels like the same work, you know, in a way. It's just all fits together. And you can find that at guidingstarproject.com.
Thank you, Leah, again, for all the work that you do for women and for the church. And thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Women Lead. We hope you feel inspired in your vocation as a Catholic woman in business. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. And don't forget to rate and review our podcast on iTunes. You can also join us on Instagram at Catholic Women in Business, or in our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/Catholic Women in Business. Until next time, we'll be praying for you.